to study. We're going to be in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 19 with me, if you would please. We're going to begin reading in the book of Acts, chapter 19, in verse number 13 with me. Verse number 13 down to verse number 20. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The title of today's study is What Being Saved Will Cause You to Do. What being saved will cause you to do. If someone is truly saved, there are going to be some changes in that person's life. The Bible tells us so. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When a person is saved, he receives power, Holy Spirit power, which enables him to make that change. We see in our passage today a group of folks at Ephesus who got saved through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whenever the gospel is preached, we see the results as evidenced in verses 17, 18, and 20 of our text. Notice verse 17 says, The name of the Lord was magnified. Notice verse 18 says, And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. And verse 20 says, So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What I want to focus in our study today is on what being saved caused these people to do. In other words, the changes that took place as a result of being saved. Number one, we want to look at their work. Notice with me, the work or occupation of many of them that got saved were involved in, as it says in verse 19, which Jews curious arts. Many of them that got saved were involved in sorcery. They were involved in the occult, casting spells, conducting seances, saying incantations, involved in witchcraft. This is how many of them had made a living. However, they knew as a result of being saved, they needed to change their work or occupation. They knew that the work they were involved in glorified the devil. They knew it was an abomination to the Lord. Thus saith the scriptures, amen. Look, for example, with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 18. In Deuteronomy chapter number 18, in verses 9 through 12, the Bible says, When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found. And listen now, the abomination. This is what God told Israel when they came into the land. Amen. Not to learn or practice the abominations of those nations around them. and he named them. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Now look with me also in Revelations 21. In the book of Revelations in chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then, of course, witchcraft in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, is one of the works of the flesh listed there on the works of the flesh. Now, my dear friend, sometimes after being saved, persons need to change their work or occupation because it's an abomination to God. For example, being a clerk in a liquor store, I believe, does not bring glory to God. Amen. A clerk selling lottery tickets or cigarettes or pornographic magazines. Amen. Or a cocktail waitress or a male or female strippers, or someone that works on the psychic hotlines, or an entertainer or a model, or a musician that plays rock and roll and heavy metal, amen, or a professional athlete sometimes, and a tarot card reader, someone that tells someone's fortunes by the reading of tarot cards. Even if our work or occupation is not evil in itself, a person must consider the appearance of what they're doing and ask the question, is the appearance of what I am doing evil? Because the Bible tells us, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, abstain, that's right, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, a lot of folks will complain, but my work is how I pay my bills and feed my family. Well, they just do not want to trust in the Lord and believe His promises, amen? As Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 6 with me. In Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus talks about the temporal things, amen, he says, and beginning in verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take your thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye little faith? Then he says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, if you put God first, amen, in your job or whatever it is, you want to have a job that glorifies God, that the appearance of it is not evil, if you'll do that, amen, He said He will provide for all your temporal needs, amen. And of course, who can forget that great promise in the Word of God that's found over there in the book of Philippians in chapter number 4 in verse number 19, but my God shall supply, here it is, all, not some or a few, all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. That's right. Now here is a group of people, amen, who meant business with God. They literally burned their business up. They did not look back. They knew pleasing God was more important than pleasing their belly. Yes, my dear friend, being truly saved may cause you to change your work. Amen. Is there something that you are involved in, amen, as far as your occupation or practices or whatever it may be, that needs to be changed? Number two, not only did these folks, as a result of being saved, change their work, but they changed their words. W-O-R-D-S's. Amen. Notice what verse 19 says there in the book of Acts in chapter 19. It says that they brought their books together and burned them before all men. In other words, they changed their words. They burned the books that they used that were full of words, unholy words, words that they used in their work of sorcery, words that they used to cast spells, words of incantation, words of evil, darkness, and death, words of how to make potions. In other words, the main tools to do their work, their books of sorcery and witchcraft, were destroyed. Amen. Here's people that meant business with God. But they knew they no longer needed these books, these words, because now they had the words of eternal life, the word of God, not the words of the devil anymore. My friend, if you are truly saved, then you will change your words. No longer would you hear them, amen, casting a spell on someone and putting them in darkness. Instead, the words that they now would speak would bring people from darkness into light, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Instead, their words would speak of a Savior who saved them from a sinner's hell. They were now spokesmen for the Savior instead of Satan, the God of this world. Yes, my friend, if you are truly saved, then your words should have changed. Is that right? Amen. Are there some albums, amen, books, magazines, videos, TV programs, CDs, video games that you need to get rid of? Some words, my friends, that you need to get rid of, that you need to burn before all men. And maybe you need to bring them to an old-fashioned altar in the local church and leave them behind as a testimony, amen, and replace them with the Holy Bible, the King James Bible, God's preserved, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. And replace them not only with the Holy Bible, but with good Christian literature. There are many good writers of the past that you can read, amen. And music, good Christian music. I'm not talking about the CCM, the contemporary Christian music either, amen. Praise the Lord. That music is just of the devil. That's right, just of the devil. I remember the time after I got saved that the Lord laid on my heart to get rid of all those rock and roll albums that I had, amen. And this is the honest truth, amen. I know the devil was upset that day, that night. I put them out. I broke them up first, and I threw them in the trash barrel, amen. And you know what happened? Later on that night, someone came by, amen. It was the eve of a 4th of July night, amen, and set those barrels on fire, amen. Praise the Lord. The devil's music was burned, was melted and destroyed that night. And I know, I'll tell you right now, right after then, the devil was trying to get me to get discouraged and disappointed, amen, that same night. I don't know who it was, set my shed back on fire, amen. I know that they were the workers of the devil, amen, because the devil was upset that I got rid of his music out of my life once and for all. Praise the Lord. Number three, my dear friends, not only did these people that had worked in the curious arts, amen, as a result of getting saved, change their work, amen, and change their words, but they also changed their worth. W-O-R-T-H. Notice what it says with me there back in the book of Acts, chapter 19, in verse 19. It says, they counted the price of them, in other words, all the books that they brought, and found it 50 pieces of silver. Some say that the total value of the magical books and spells that were burnt in that fire was the equivalent to the total salaries of 150 men working for a whole year. I also read somewhere it said the total value was $300,000. And at $30 a book, that would be a bonfire of 10,000 books. The point to be made is that these people did not count the cost, amen, of what they were giving up, but they repented and turned from their sins. They turned from idols, amen, from serving idols and worshiping idols to serving the living and true God, amen. They were not concerned how much it was going to cost them to destroy their books and to change their work. The Bible tells us over and over again of people who would not get saved because of their riches. Amen. The Bible tells us not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. That's why a lot of people don't get saved. Amen. Because their God is their money. They serve an idol. There's an idol in their heart, and that idol is money. Or maybe it's drugs. Or maybe it's sex. Or maybe it's power or position or whatever it may be. Amen. But look with me now in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18. In Luke 18, beginning in verse 18... We see in Luke 18, beginning in verse 18, we have a rich young ruler that comes to Christ. And it says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now here's a rich young ruler that comes to Christ, asked him basically, what do I need to be saved, to be right with God? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Amen. And of course, Jesus is God here, and he's saying, yes, I'm good. Amen. And then he goes on, he says, thou knowest the commandments. And he says, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. In other words, don't lie, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, this is what the ruler said, this rich young ruler said to Jesus, and he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. He says, I'm innocent. I've kept all these commandments that you've mentioned since I was a young lad. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. See, he knew one thing, that this, yes, he may have kept some of the commandments, but not all of them. Because this young ruler had a false idol in his heart. He was worshiping another god besides the living and true God. Amen. He was worshiping money, material goods. Notice in verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't say it was impossible, amen, for a rich man to be saved, because he says later on there in the passage, and they heard it, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God, amen. But what he's saying is, it's not impossible for a rich man to get saved, but it keeps a rich man from being saved, amen, because he's worshiping that idol. That rich man, young rich ruler, was sorrowful because he was very rich, and he was not willing, amen, to give up his riches, amen, to give up his riches and to follow Jesus Christ. These folks at Ephesus who got saved gave up the source of their income because they knew it did not please God. They were no longer concerned with gaining the whole world. No, they were more concerned with keeping their own soul. You know, these folks were truly saved because most folks hate getting up off their wallets. Amen? These folks here in Ephesus, these magicians, these sorcerers, amen, these mediums that got saved and got off their wallets and didn't care because they wanted to serve the living and true God. And it didn't matter what the cost it was. Make most independent Bible-believing Baptists, amen, put them down, and I'm telling you, make them look like a bunch of cheapskates, amen, because we know how Baptists are getting up off their wallets, amen. Yes, my dear friend, if you are truly saved, then it will make you change your worth. You will give up that good-paying job if it's not pleasing to God, if it takes you away from being in church. It is time, my friend, that you made a change in your worth. It's time not to count the cost of what it will cost you to be saved, to get saved, but to repent and turn from your sins and start serving the living and true God. My friend, you may be very rich materially, amen, but it's not going to do you any good when you die, amen, because there's no second chance to get right with God after you die. That's right. The Bible tells us so. Look with me in the book of Hebrews. It says in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And all the money in the world that you have will not keep you from going to hell. Amen. The only thing that will keep you from going to hell is repenting of your sins, asking God for forgiveness, and asking Jesus Christ into your heart, and praying and receiving Him as your personal Savior. That's the only thing. Money will not save you in the day of judgment. Amen. We've seen in our study today what being saved will cause you to do. As we saw in the case of these folks at Ephesus who were in their living in curious arts, it caused them to change their work. Amen. They turned from incantations and making up potions, casting spells, holding seances, and all this other stuff. They changed their occupation because it was not pleasing to God. They changed their words. That's right. They came and they burnt their books. Amen. They no longer read or used the books that had the words of the devil, that served the devil, that glorified the devil. No, they now had the word of God. Amen. That glorified God. That showed people how they could be saved. Amen. Yes, they changed their words and they changed their worth. They didn't sit down and say, oh, let's see, if I get saved, it's going to cost me my income, it's going to cost me this, it's going to cost me that, my family, my friends, or whatever. No. They considered the cost, but they didn't look back. They burned all their books, as we see that was worth a lot of money, the Bible tells us. They changed their work, their words, and their worth. How about you, my dear friend? Is it time for a change? I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution that everybody makes the first of, or they make it New Year's Eve, December 31st, and then they break it the next day on January 1st. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. No, I'm talking about making a change, as these folks in Ephesus did, that will take you from death to life. Amen. A change that will put you in Christ and make a new creature out of you. A change that will change your work, your words, your worth. We see a lot of people running around today saying they're saved, they're born again. But if you look at the way they live their life, we see no change. Amen. The Bible says as we began, amen, as we began our study, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, see, that's the key. You have to be in Christ. You're either in Christ or outside of Christ. And if you're in Christ, if you're truly in Christ, if you're truly born again, the Bible tells us he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We saw in Ephesus that these people were truly in Christ. They were truly born again. Why? Because they were new creatures in Christ. Old things had passed away. They had given up their occupation in the curious arts. Amen. They had come and they burnt their books that they made their living from. You know, when someone would come and say, I need you to cast a spell on so-and-so to do this and do that, and they'd go and they'd refer to their book, and they'd charge that person for that money. But they got rid of their books. Amen. At a great cost. Amen. But they didn't care because they were truly a new creature in Christ. They were no longer outside of Christ, but they were now in Christ. And old things had passed away. And all things had become new. Amen. And the only way that a person can get in Christ is, as I said earlier, they have to repent of their sins. Not being sorry for being caught, but being truly sorry that you've offended God because of your sin. Sin is anything that goes against God, that goes against God. It doesn't mean you had a... Sin is not just raping and murdering someone and stealing, amen? Tell a little white lie is a sin. Thinking ill of someone is a sin, amen? Lying is a sin, amen? One sin is enough to send you to hell. But you don't have to go there. Won't you this very day believe in your heart that Christ died? He died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save you. And won't you call upon the name of the Lord and make that change today as the folks at Ephesus did? Amen. And no longer be outside of Christ, but in Christ. And if you are in Christ, he says, you are a new creature. Those old things are going to pass away. And all things will become new. Won't you be saved today? That's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri, Pastor. And until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer for each one of you is that God would richly bless you, and good day.